Amen. I'm Darrell Bailey. Thank you for tuning us in for our morning message. April the 21st, 2024, the 13th of Nisan, 5784 of the Hebrew calendar. Here, servants for Christ, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I'm glad I want to introduce you this morning as you take your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here this morning, we want to talk about pulling out the weeds and planting the seeds. Pulling out the weeds and planting the seeds out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. When we look at this, we begin to realize that the first thing of the negative dimension of trying to be able to maintain our maturity, that we're in a hurried society where children are often pushed to grow up too quick. It's crucial to reflect on the process of a spiritual growth. Just as a child needs time to mature physically, emotionally, and socially, so too does a Christian man or woman, boy or girl, need to grow spiritually. Many people, they could be old men and women, and they never served the Lord until maybe the last part of their life, and they begin to get up, but just because they're old doesn't mean they're wise. They're still like an old Christian with a new Christian perspective. They've got so much to learn because they've never practiced it all their life. They've just lived like the devil in hell all their life. And even though they're older, it doesn't mean they're smarter or wiser. And so when we look at the parallels between the physical and spiritual growth, as we look at the wisdom of 1 Peter chapter 2, I think of a story that a little boy was disappointed with, the smallness of the egg that his small chicken had laid. So he went downtown and he returned with a small package. He unwrapped it and he revealed an ostrich egg, much bigger than the one that his little old hen had laid. And he held up the egg to the little hen and said, "Now take a good look at this and try harder." Now, you know what? Maybe this is the attitude of many believers as they look at their Christian life. Because it appears unsuccessful, they become discouraged and disgruntled, and they think that living the Christian life is a total impossibility. But how do you pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? Every one of us, when we look at our kids and realize that all of us, when we try to expect our kids to do what adults do, it's impossible. And so, here, for you to live a holy life, you have to be a mature Christian. Immature Christians cannot live holy lives any more than little children can carry out adult responsibilities. Holy living can be practiced only by spiritually mature Christians. Perhaps we place the emphasis on the wrong thing as preachers. We challenge our people to be holy, and perhaps we ought to challenge our people to grow up. And if they grow up as Christians, then they will be able to live holy lives. There's a definite connection between maturity and holiness. And Peter concluded this discussion by challenging every one of us to grow up into our spiritual maturity. And so we can learn from this text, how do we grow up into spiritual maturity? Amen. And before I go any further, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather to seek your guidance, Lord. We ask God that, Lord, that you will give us the wisdom to open our hearts, to empower us to fulfill the purpose as salt and light in this world, God. That, Lord, that we would do the Great Commission. But, Lord, how can we do it if we don't have the holiness? We can't be like little children that grows up so fast that we don't have what it takes to be holy and righteous. It takes time. And so, Lord, I pray not only for these older ones as well as the young ones. Many of them, Lord, have just recently over the past few years been living for the Lord, and they've wasted many, many years of their life away living for the devil and like the devil. But Lord, I pray God that you will continue to bless our young and upcoming generation. Bless our older ones. Teach them the word of God. Lord, as it's a day in and day out, all the day of our lives, that we trust you with our care to help us to live a life that's holy and that's mature. And now, as we deal with the dimensions of the positive and of the negative, of how that we are able to pull out the weeds and plant the seeds, give us the knowledge to do so in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. Now, the negative dimension that we look at as we pull out the weeds of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy, and when we pull out the slander that is out there. And so these five things, we must shed the garments of sin. But that's the first part of that negative dimension of pulling out the weeds. But what about planting the seeds? In order to plant the seeds, we look over to the left of the positive dimension and we crave and thirst for the milk of the word, the holiness, the righteousness, the goodness, and the truth. And I'm glad that in that order that we're able to go forward and to get rid of pulling out the weeds of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, and begin to plant the seeds, of the milk of the word, of holiness, righteousness, goodness, and truth by craving and first thirsting for these things. Amen. Here, April the 21st, 2024, the 13th of Nisan, 5784, the Hebrew calendar. Amen. And knowledge. Now, Peter wrote, and as he was talking, he said, therefore, rid yourselves of all. And I'm glad that when he did that, from the negative dimension, he began to tell us, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guilt and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Amen. That he's talking about. I'm glad he goes on and he tells us, he says, as we rid ourselves then of all evil, no more lying or, hypocrisy or jealousy or insulting language. Amen. I'm glad that as we get into this, he goes on and he tells us, how do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? Well, first of all, we have the analogy of a gardener removing weeds to nurture the healthy plants. And it mirrors the process of spiritual growth, amen, that we ought to have. And so, how do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? First of all, by stripping off the immaturity. That's what we read in verse 1. As we get rid of it, that we must shed the garments of sin. The gardener's removing the weeds, and I'm glad that as it mirrors the process, whereby laying aside, we must shed the garments of sin. Amen. And so, how do we do this? I'm glad, as it tells us this, that first of all, as we go forward, he tells us, is as if it was a genie that was in front of us with a magic lamp. And he says, I want you to make a wish. Well, when we look at it, first of all, we see malice. Malice is something that inflicts harm. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so, when we look at this, we see that we put every bit of this away from us. We get rid of it. No more do we deal with the inflicted harm that we bring on someone else. Amen. And so I'm glad he tells us this. He says deceit, because when we look at deceit, we're told that it's a hidden harm that comes out. And through that hidden harm, amen, we look at the word of God, and it tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 3, the Bible says in the King James, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perseverance, the perverseness of transgressions shall destroy them. And so, I'm glad when we look at these five things of pulling the weeds of that negative dimension, as if we were trying to wish from a genie all of the things. Hypocrisy. When we look at hypocrisy, we see the false front that it has about it. Nothing that is really true about it. Because Matthew chapter 23, verse 28 in the King James says, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Boy, there's a lot of fakers out there. But you can't fake the Lord when it's genuine. He also talks about envy. Because envy is something of resentment. There's always somebody out there that looks at what you got. You see, they don't want to live the Christian life. They don't want to maintain a life of holiness and righteousness. They want to live any old way they want to live. But when they look at your life and see how the Lord blesses you, they have envy and resentment towards you because they don't want to do what the Lord would have them to do. And so with the word resentment and envy, we see James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." In verse 16, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And then we see not only malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, but slander. From it, we see destructive speech. The Word of God tells us from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8, in the King James Version, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." You know what? I tell you, I run into some of the most vulgar talking people that I've ever run into. And so we must shed the garments of sin. Take it off by stripping off the immaturity. But secondly, when we look at this, we also see something else. We see that we must also embrace honesty and sincerity that he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse the last part of verse 1. Because through this, authenticity is one of those things that in a relationship, Paul said, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." And so, integrity in words and deeds. Proverbs 10:9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." Amen. And so, genuine love for one another. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he said, "My little children, let not us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Amen. And so, I'm glad that we must embrace honesty and sincerity, praise God. And so I thank God through the authenticity in relationships that we read out of Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Amen. And so here, when we look, integrity in words and deeds in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, genuine love for one another in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. So we look at this and we're reminded of how that we are to pull out the weeds, amen, and get them out of our life. Because by stripping off immaturity, we must shed the garments of sin, malice, inflicting harm, deceit, hidden harm, hypocrisy, false fronts, envy, resentment, and slander, destructive speech. Here from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But as we move on, we also see as we pull out those weeds, we see the positive dimension that it takes to pull the weeds out of the garden to grow something. We also have to plant the seeds. And likewise, it takes more than just ridding our lives of these things to grow as Christians. We must also take some things into our lives. Peter discussed the positive side here in verse 2 that he said, "Like newborn babes, we crave the pure spiritual milk so that by you may grow up in your salvation." And he goes on and he tells us this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And I'm glad were these new Christians, amen, that we're looking at. You know what? When we look, Peter discussed this positive side, but he said, like newborn babes that crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Were these new Christians to whom Peter wrote? It's why that he called them newborn babes, not necessarily because the term newborn babes was meant to describe not their position, but their passion. Like I said earlier, they can be in their 80s, they can be in their 60s, they can be in their 40s, but they're just like a newborn babe because they've never applied maturity and they've never stripped off the immaturity. They're just continuing right on in a way that may they've been saved, but they're not mature Christians. When a baby's hungry, we might say that they have a one-track mind. That's all that he or she thinks about, and all that he or she will not be happy until they get that stomach full. I know little babies. Boy, I'm going to tell you, my mom took in baby when we were growing up. That was a disfortunate child, and we kept that baby. But the most heartbreaking thing was when they finally felt somebody to take that child, Jamie, it broke our hearts because we'd already got attached to that little baby. And he could have been a part of our family, but they found another home for him. And so every one of us, we can remember that there's some babies that are hungrier than other babies. And we got to be ready sometimes. But I thank God. Peter's talking about the Christian ought to have the same passion for God's word as a baby does for his food. We are to crave God's word. Crave is a word which is used for a deer longing for water of the stream of Psalms 42. Amen. That he's talking about. We must crave God's word. In Psalms 42, verse 1, the King James says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. Not only the passionate hunger for scripture, but the thirst for spiritual growth that we must have. Amen. I thank God that as we look at this, we begin to realize that as he tells us this, not their position, but their passion, we are to crave God's word. Peter's three reasons why we should crave the word of God is like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you'll grow into a full experience of salvation, excuse me, and cry out for the nourishment that is there because of what it is. It's sincere, pure, because of what it will do for us, that ye may grow thereby, and because we are to hide it in our heart so that we can be holy. These are the reasons that we should crave the word of God. The old mountain preacher, Van Havner, praise God, said one time, he said, we are all whizzing around from preacher to preacher, meeting to meeting with some pad and pencil, hiding the word in our notebooks instead of our hearts. And so we need to crave that word of God because of what it will do for us, what will happen when we devour the pure milk of God's word. Peter said the final phase is by it you may grow up in your salvation. We're not to consume God's word just for the sake of consuming God's word. We are to consume God's word so that by it we may grow. And the problem with most Christians, according to Vance Havner, is that, you know what? We're just whizzing around from preacher to preacher, meeting to meeting with a pad and pencil, trying to hide the word in our notebooks instead of put it in our hearts. And that's the problem. How do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? I thank God. I'm glad that not only must we crave God's word, we must recognize the purity of scripture, amen, of the unadulterated truth, amen. I'm glad that here, when we look at this, that he's telling us in verse 2, the spiritual nourishment, feeding on that spiritual nourishment, amen, as newborn babes crave the milk. And so, what did he say? We must crave God's word, amen. And so the passionate hunger that we should have for scripture, amen, as each and every one of us goes, the passionate that we must crave God's word, amen. Hunger for the scripture, as the psalmist says. Also, the thirst for spiritual growth, as Psalms 119, 164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteousness, righteous judgments, amen. And so I'm glad that that is the second way. We must crave God's word, but also we must recognize the purity of scripture, praise God. I'm glad that here, when we recognize the purity of scripture, the unadulterated truth, Psalms 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And I'm glad the unadulterated truth, not only that, but sanctified influence, praise God. In John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And then also we see not only that we must crave God's word, we must recognize the purity of Scripture, but also we see the next thing, and that is we must grow through study and application. Amen. I thank God. How do we do that? Transformation through knowledge. Paul said in Romans 12:2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. That we must grow through the study and the application. The transformation through knowledge. Amen. But also maturity through obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. James chapter 1, verses 22 down to verse 25 tells us, listen, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But lastly, in verse 25 of James 1, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and contendeth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so, how do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? By stripping off the immaturity, amen, in verse 1. Secondly, by feeding on the spiritual nourishment in verse 2. But then, our last point that we get to, praise God, as we look, as we plant the seeds, amen, here, as we get into that growth, we see that he says in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, he says, other words, if you found out for yourselves how kind the Lord is, I'm glad that as we crave God's word, amen. Peter added the interesting phrase, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, what does it mean? It reminds us that God's word, because it puts us in touch with God, enables us to experience his wonderful goodness. What does that mean for every one of us? That we're reminded again that we as Christians are to live holy lives. And when we make the decision to call ourselves by the name of Christ, then we're making the decision to live by his rules. Our relationship with a holy God should lead us to be holy. We're reminded that there are two dimensions to holy living, a negative dimension and a positive dimension. Negatively, there are some things that we're to pull out of our lives. The weeds, Peter mentioned five in our text, but there are others, amen, besides them. And I'm glad that as we look at these things, I'm glad that each and every one of us, in order for us to be holy, I'm glad that we've also got to recognize that there's some good things. We've got to plant some good seeds. We've got to get in the word, the knowledge, the truth, praise God. But that brings us to our third and final point. And that is, how do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? Third, we see, as we've talked about, by stripping off the immaturity, by feeding on spiritual nourishment. But third, by experiencing God's goodness in verse 3 that we read about, amen. First, I thank God when we look at this, as we reflect on a personal experiences that we've all experienced by experiencing God's goodness. You know what? When you've experienced something, ain't nobody can tell you otherwise. You know what you've experienced. You know that you've eaten something and it tasted so good that you're willing to tell everybody how good it tastes. Well, when you've experienced something like the Lord, boy, I'm going to tell you something. You experience it by God's goodness, and you're ready to tell and to reflect on that personal experience of tasting and experiencing the goodness of God that can deepen our faith and our commitment, praise God. And so, on that, by experiencing God's goodness, amen, reflecting on those spiritual experiences, we must know the goodness of the Lord, amen. And so I thank God. How do we do that? We taste and see. Psalms 34, verse 8 tells us, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, praise God. And so, I'm glad that we taste and we see. And I'm glad that through this, amen, that we experience God's presence in our life, amen. That thou wilt show me the path of life and thy presence, the fullness of joy at the right hand, and the pleasures that are there forevermore, praise God. So we must know the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Here, as we by experience God's goodness, that we know the goodness of the Lord, praise God. But also, secondly, that we must reflect on God's goodness through holiness, is what we read in verse 3 of that last part, praise God. Because here, as we see this, that as we reflect on that, I'm glad that we live in response to his goodness. As Micah 6:8 tells us, amen, that taste and see. And so here, we reflect on the goodness of God, living in response to his goodness, amen. But secondly, bearing fruit of righteousness, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says of the King James, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, under the glory and the praise of God, amen. And so from the analogy of the gardener removing the weeds to nurture healthy plants mirrors the process of spiritual growth. Just as the newborn craves milk for the nourishment, Christians should eagerly desire the Word of God for spiritual nourishment. And then we reflect on our spiritual experiences of tasting and experience the goodness of God that can deepen our faith, amen, and commitment, praise God. And so, by stripping off the immaturity, we must shed the garments of sin, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, praise God. And then we must embrace the honesty and sincerity of the authenticity in that relationship, praise God. Amen. And so I'm glad each and every one of us, when we look and we realize that through life, that we can do some great and mighty things. Amen. I'm glad that when we look and realize, amen, sorry about my phone going off. Somebody's trying to call me, and I'm in the middle of a message. Sorry about that. But I thank God as we look and realize in our message here that as we reflect on God's goodness, one of the most renowned men of all time, Dr. Paul Brand, was a world-renowned surgeon on leprosy. He was a leprosy specialist. He was one of the most respected doctors in the world. However, Dr. Brand, he left his established career in the United States. He went into India to minister and give treatment to those of the leper colony that there. He went to those to whom no one else wanted to minister. He once was treating a young man, and during his examination of the man, he placed his hand on the man's shoulder, and the man began to weep uncontrollably. And Dr. Brand asked that translator what he had done to upset this man that had the leprosy. And the translator said, "He's crying because you put your hand on his shoulder. Until you came here, no one had touched him. No one had showed him love in years." And so the truth of the matter is that when we love others, we love those who loves us. We can love the up and the out, the in and the out, the down and the out. And it's emphasized that it'll be exercised, because a love like this cannot be contained. It must be conducted. It cannot be possessed without being practiced. It will not be discussed without being demonstrated. We must reflect on God's goodness through holiness. And that is what our doctor did the best. Amen. Thank God for men and women that's like Dr. Brand. Amen. And so I'm glad as we come to a close, a Swiss psychologist, Paul Tournier, once said, he said this. He said, if a person will love God the way that he ought to love God, and if he will then love others the way he ought to love others, and when he loves God and others as he ought, he will never need a psychiatrist. Jesus reminds us that it is not a wrong thing to love ourselves. However, we cannot properly love ourselves until we love God and others the way that we should. Then love for ourselves will have the right disposition. And so, as I get ready, as I close out and get ready to go our separate ways, when we look and realize that when we experience God's goodness, amen, boy, there's nothing like it. As we begin to look and realize what God wants to do for all of us, as we strip off the immaturity to crave the Word, to experience the goodness more fully and grow in holiness and bear the fruit that reflects the character in our Lord and Savior's name, amen. I'm going to close out. As I grab my song book and challenge you, as I do in worship, praise God, as we sing together to worship, I want to follow up with a commitment of to Christ card with you, amen. But I'm glad I want to sing a lyric of Angels Rock Me to Sleep. My heart is sad, my soul is weary, while sailing o'er life's rugged main. The clouds are dark, the day is dreary, it seems our earthly help is vain. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love, bear me over the deep to that haven above, when the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. At last the harbor I am nearing, I see the lights along the shore, I hear my friends and loved ones cheering, I'll soon be safe forevermore. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love, bear me over the deep to that haven above, when the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love, in the cradle of love. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us, as we get ready to go, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By stripping off the immaturity, we can shed the garments of sin, of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, and pull the weeds out and begin to plant the seeds. But we must embrace honesty and sincerity of our relationship, our words and our deeds, of genuine love for one another. But how do we pull out the weeds and plant the seeds? By feeding on spiritual nourishment, Peter said. Passionate as we crave God's word, we have a passionate hunger for the scripture, amen, as a newborn baby. Thirst for spiritual growth. We must recognize the purity of that scripture of unadulterated truth, sanctifying influence, and we must grow through study and application, transformation through knowledge, maturity through obedience, amen. And then, thirdly, not only by stripping off the immaturity, by feeding on the spiritual nourishment, by experiencing God's goodness, amen, I'm glad that we must know the goodness of the Lord, taste and see, and experience God's presence. And then we must reflect on God's goodness through holiness, living in response to his goodness and bearing fruit of that righteousness. Amen. I hope and pray. He said, understanding that I'm a sinner, but believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free me from the punishment of my sins, I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I desire to live to please Christ, and in placing my trust in him for the gift of eternal life. Would you put your name there? Would you sign the date that you made a confession of faith, that you asked the Lord to be the keeper of your soul, and that through the convicting of the Holy Spirit, that you stepped out on faith and took him at his word? Print this out later, and if not for you, for someone else, share this commitment to Christ card with them and witness to them and try to lead them to Jesus Christ before their time runs out. Remember, each and every one of us, as we journey in faith, as we go through all of the weeds of pulling out the wrong things and planting and putting in the right things, amen, each one of us, as we journey in faith, let's commit to stripping off the garments of sin, embracing honesty, sincerity in our relationship, hunger for God's word, recognizes its purity, transforming our lives with the taste that we see that the Lord is good, reflecting on that goodness that marks holiness and the love that he has for each and every one of us, that we can grow in faith and be evident to all that we mature in Christ to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that guides us toward maturity and faith. Help us to strip off the immaturity, to crave your word, and to experience your goodness more fully. And may we grow in holiness and bear fruit that reflects your character. In Jesus' marvelous, mighty name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning us in.